and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, from rain, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I be your host, Ron Stevens, for the next hour. And you can't even make any of this stuff up anymore. It's total and complete bizarro world where we're at, where we're at now. This story my wife told me about, I didn't know about it, and this is really bizarre, because we know they're dicking around with bugs and nanotechnology and all that kind of stuff. And this, I got thinking about this, and this really bothers me, because, you know, if you go to the UN sustainability programs, they're always bitching about red meat. Because it takes 9 million gazillion trillion billion gallons of water to produce 1 gram of red meat or some ridiculous thing like that. They'd rather we eat grasshoppers, but then the grasshoppers probably would end up on the endangered species list. But we know they don't want us eating meat. Be a vegan. Save the planet. Save the animals. Save the water. And cattle, well, you know, they fart and they give off methane, which is another greenhouse gas, and therefore nobody should be eating meat. Which takes me back to Soylent Green, the movie with Charlton Heston, the guy that was head of the gun association in the States, who said, you know, you have to take the gun out of his cold, dead hands or whatever it was he said. But in that movie, Soylent Green, meat's basically not available. And Soylent Green, the foreword for Soylent Green was written by, what the hell is his name? Anyways. He was at the first human environment conference in Stockholm in 72, and he also wrote a book, Population Bomb, I think he wrote. I can't remember his name right now. Total whack job, anyways. But he wrote the foreword, I believe, in Soylent Green. And... So they're trying to tell you something way back when. They're always trying to tell you something. We just don't pick up on it. That's our problem. because for some psychopathic reason, they feel they have to tell us everything they're up to one way or the other. They write these really long documents that nobody could, or very few people can wander through. They're so contradictory and they're so long. They're so convoluted and screwed up. Most people wouldn't get through the first five paragraphs. But they wrote it and they told you what they're up to. They make the movies to tell you what they're up to. You know, I got a call last night. A guy was trying to call into Studio B over on Revolution Radio, and it happened to ring in on me. I do a show on Studio B, but I don't know how that worked out. But anyways, he's from Vermont, hell of a nice guy. We talked for about 2 hours. And, you know, we were talking, I was asking him if he'd ever seen the series with Kris Kristofferson, and America with a K in it. And he said, no, but I remember when I was young, I seen it at the movie rental place. And I said, well, it's on my blog, canadiantruths.wordpress.com. Go watch it. Because, if you go back to 1950 Senate hearings, Warburg said they're going to have a world government by consent or by conquest, but they needed to have some mechanisms. Now, the whole idea was to Sovietize the West, just like they did in Russia, which means it doesn't mean, you know, Soviet police. What it is bureaucracy. Okay? You just have this horrid amount of bureaucracy that nobody voted for, and it don't go anywhere. Doesn't matter who you vote in or vote out, that bureaucracy remains, and that's the Sovietization of the West, of which we were warned about in 1929 by Chief Justice out of England, who wrote The New Despotism, which I would ask everybody to read. And but the kicker with America spelled with a K, and that movie's about after the Sovietization. It's after the bureaucracy's in place. And that's exactly what we got today. And the kicker to that situation, 1987, they put out the movie America with a K to tell you exactly what you're going to have when they're done with you. And it's this exact same year that Gro Brundtland was head of Our Common Future, which was mainly written by Morris Strong and David Rockefeller and a couple other people. She was just at the head of the commission. So they don't want you eating red meat. Now, this is a very screwy story, a very dangerous story, and I'm reading this one off of the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, which is funded by the people of Canada, the CBC News. Aggressive tick whose bite makes people allergic to red meat is arriving in Canada. Attacked by a Lone Star tick is difficult to diagnose because symptoms do not appear immediately. Les Waters will never forget his reaction after he ate a hamburger at a restaurant in January 2015. It's like your throat swells up and you can't breathe. Your blood pressure drops and you black out, said the 63-year-old man from Harcourt, a small community in eastern Ontario. Waters, an avid hunter and meat lover, learned he had developed a rare allergy to anything made from beef, pork, and lamb. A bite from a tiny tick recently spotted in Canada is to blame. The culprit, the Lone Star tick, is named for the white dot or Lone Star on the back of the female. Native to southeastern United States, it has slowly migrated north, hitching a ride on birds, deer, domestic animals. Well, you're not going to get any deer. This is what kills me. you know, hitching a ride on birds, deer, and domestic animals. Well, if it's from the southeastern United States, I don't think there's any southeastern United States deer migrating up here. Deer aren't migratory animals. But hey, who's to say? Maybe they got a new breed of migrating deer. Waters not sure where the tick found him, but he suspects it might have been on a hunting trip in northern Quebec. The Lone Star tick has been found in neighboring New Brunswick. Now, they're going to blame this tick movement, of course, on global warming, because the tick wouldn't survive before global warming because it's from the southeastern United States, which is quite warm, versus here, which is not, at least not in the wintertime or in the spring or in the fall. The two we have, which were contributed to us by people in New Brunswick, one fed from a human and one fed from a dog, said Professor Lloyd, a biologist at Allison University in Saxville, New Brunswick. Dr. Lloyd says the Lone Star tick, unlike other ticks, is aggressive. It is one of the few that will actually chase their prey. Once they know that you're there, they will tumble towards you, she said. How these ticks cause the allergy that affects Waters, which was first identified in the 90s, is complicated. When the tick bites a person, it spits alpha gal into the blood. There's a compound present in beef, pork, and lamb, and humans usually digest it harmlessly, but when it appears elsewhere in a person's body, for example, in the bloodstream, it causes a strong reaction. The body develops antibodies to fight back, and the battle causes symptoms that range from general rash to severe reaction. There is no treatment yet. It took almost 2 years for Waters to get diagnosis from an allergist, and much of the work was through his internet sleuthing. So he can't eat meat no more, or at least red meat. The Public Health Agency of Canada, which is a subsidiary of WHO, which is the World Health Organization, which is the United Nations, which was involved up to their eyeballs in the phony H1N1 flu virus back however many years ago, because I traced all that down. And the United Nations, or WHO, said that they were making really good money off of all these vaccinations, but because there's been no big problem with disease or flus other than normal, that they needed a pandemic within the next couple of years. And lo and behold, the H1N1 blows into town, right? And I got a bad feeling this is the same thing with this tick. Could be wrong, but I got a bad feeling because these people are crazy. As for Walter, who loves to hunt, there's an irony in developing this allergy. I have all sorts of wild game in my freezer, and I just have to give it away now. I'm just going to have to give this up, he says. He carries a EpiPen now and avoids red meat, although the temptation is always there. Walters calls the allergy an annoyance. Still, for the diehard carnivore, it's a tough transition. The taste of a good burger, a nice moose steak, or some venison, loin chops, you get very bored with fish or chicken over and over, he said. Now, all of these viruses that seem to pick up, that show up, and all of these weird diseases that seem to show up, all seem to be man-made. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that the AIDS virus was contrived in a laboratory. They sold it to you from a monkey, but that ain't where it come from. So, you know, they want to mass depopulate the world, and they don't want you eating meat. And I'm surprised they didn't put something in there about that. You know, just look on the bright side. If you get bit by a tick, you won't be eating red meat, and you'll be contributing to saving the planet. That may come in later. Now, here's another one. Now, we know they want to depopulate. They want to know they want to get rid of the red, the white race. And so here we have sperm counts have declined by more than half for Western men, study finds. And you wonder why we have this exponential growth in people like Caitlyn Jenner. Well, that's a big reason right there. And that's also shows up in that movie, America with a K, the feminizing of the young men. So here we have a problem. Researchers say worrisome findings have serious implications for fertility and men's health. Sperm counts for men in North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand have declined by more than 50% in the last four decades, a large research reviewer has found. So, the sperm counts have fallen by 50%, more than 50%, where? North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand. Ooh, wait a minute. Where are they flooding all the Muslims into? North America, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and yada, yada, yada. Duh. That's very worrisome, said the study's lead author, Dr. Hegel Levine, who works at the Hebrew University's Bron School of Public Health and Community Medicine in Jerusalem. Levine and his global team of researchers found no significant sperm count decline among men in South America, Asia, and Africa, although they acknowledged far less information was available for those continents. No, they've been feeding you junk food, and they've been pumping your bodies full of garbage pharmaceuticals, and you've been eating poison food and drinking poison water, which is probably not available in the other countries mentioned. And so it is on purpose that the sperm counts have dropped by more than 50%. I think it has a lot to do with the average male in the West not being able to get up. I don't mean get it up. I mean just get up. Our forefathers would have dealt with this by now, but not today's so-called man. The findings are published Tuesday in the Human Reproduction Update Manual. They not only suggest, and remember, the word "suggest" has the same terminology as hypnosis. They not only suggest a problem with male fertility in Western countries, Levine said, but also signal that men's health could be at risk, since previous research has shown that sperm count can be a predator, a predictor of wellness. Although past research has shown that sperm counts are decreasing, not everyone in the scientific community has taken the report seriously because of concerns about the limitations and methodology, the authors say. Well, wait a minute. So the study says the sperm counts have dropped over 50%, but the scientific, not everyone in the scientific community is taking the report serious because of concerns about the limitations in mythology. Jesus, doesn't that sound like global warming? But the scientists that have a problem with that mythology and the limitations of it are denounced but we'll let him get away with this one. I felt that this question of male fertility is a neglected question, Levine told CBC News on Tuesday, noting he wanted to use improved methods and statistical power to get a definite answer to the question of whether sperm counts have declined. Environmental factors are being blamed, and seven other researchers from Israel, good old Israel, the U.S., Denmark, Spain, and Brazil performed a comprehensive review of more than 7,500 studies on human sperm count, eliminating those that didn't meet the stringent criteria to ensure data consistency. With the 185 studies left, they did a meta-regression analysis, a method of making sense of multiple studies by accounting for variables to maximize the accuracy of the results. In the end, their conclusions were based on sperm samples collected from 42,935 men around the world between 73 and 2011. They found that over those 38 years, sperm concentration declined by 52%, while total sperm count decreased by almost 60% among men from North America, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. The study did not delve into what's causing declining sperm counts in Western countries, and more specific research is needed. Even though we did not study the causes, it's clearly not genetic. The theory rings true for Dr. Keith Jarvi, chief of urology of Mount Sinai in Toronto, and the male fertility fertility expert. Jarvi was not associated with Levine's study. After reviewing it, Jarvi told CBC News he believes the findings are sound and raise important questions. You have to ask why this is happening on a society level. This is a reflection of something else that's happening, and this is just basically a marker for some other health concern that's going on with men, Jarvi said. There are a few likely lifestyle and environmental factors. On average, men's weight is going up, but there are higher rates of obesity. And we also know that obese men have lower sperm counts, Jarvi said. So you can start to correlate weight and reduction in sperm counts, environmental exposure, including female hormone compounds. It can also reduce sperm counts, he said, noting that plastics are among the source of estrogenics in the environment. Both Jarvi and Levine say there are steps men can take individually to improve their fertility, including stopping smoking, exercising, and maintaining a healthy weight. But the study shows the need to deal with declining sperm count on a societal level, they say. It's costing money because more and more people are needing IVF, in vitro fertilization. So there's a fertility cost, Jarvi said. You really got to wonder why this is happening. Investment by governments and funding agencies into understanding the causes of a low sperm count and then preventing it is critical, Levine said. We call it the canary in the coal mine. If the canary dies, the solution is not to replace the canary, to get a sperm donor. That's not the solution. We need to see why this is happening to solve it. Well, they're saying here that there's studies from 73 to 2000, whenever. And, the first human environment conference put on by the UN, Rockefeller, Strong, was all about the need to stop having children. And it was aimed at the West. And so with guys like Rockefeller and the UN involved in this, it's not, we need to figure out why this is happening. We know why it's happening. We know exactly why it's happening. If you're white, your ass is in trouble. simple as that. Now, the question is there enough sperm count left in the men? Is there enough juice left in the guys that are going to stand up to this bullshit? That's the question. Are you all going to end up wearing dresses before you die? This has got to get stopped. Now, what time is it here? Okay, I got time for this. If this thing will... Okay, so where is that? There is a thing that I never heard of before. And when I ran into it, I thought of Clint Richardson, actually. Because Clint was going to stop everything because he'd researched everything and knew everything that he could know, and he'd done so many radio shows, he had nothing left to say. And I get like that sometimes too, but surprisingly, there's always something going to pop up from somewhere. Now, he may already know about this, but I didn't. I was rooting around and I ran into it. And it's called the Calergi plan. And the interesting part about this is who got the awards. And the plan is about the genocide of the people and destroying nation states. This is the exact same plan as the United Nations. Same plan. So this guy was born 1984 in Tokyo, Japan, and died in Austria in 72. Now, he's Japanese and something else. I can't remember. Okay, let me just see. He's not Japanese. He's part Japanese. He's Austrian Japanese politician, philosopher, and count of wherever. Calergi, I guess that's where. The pioneer of European integration. He served as the founding president of the Pan-European Union for 49 years, which would be the preliminary ideological foundation of the European Union. His parents were a diplomat. His first book, Pan-Europa, was published in 1923. It contained a membership form for the Pan-Europa movement, which held its first congress in Vienna in 1926. Yada, 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 yada. A bunch of history. You can look him up. Richard von Kudenhove, Calergi, whatever. Now, this is where he's getting running. They put out a, what's his personal philosophy here? Okay, well, you can look him up anyways. But what's important here is they came up with the Charlemagne Prize. And he's the one that came up with it, or he got the first one, is it? Okay, so the Charlemagne Prize is full name originally. It's all in German, so I can't read it. Since 1988, it's the International Carisbrius International Charlemagne Prize of whatever, Ashen. Is a European prize that has been awarded annually since 1950 by the German city of Ashen to people who contributed to the unity of Europe. It commemorates Charlemagne, ruler of the Frankish Empire and founder of what became the Holy Roman Empire, who resided and is buried in Ashen. Traditionally, the award is given to the recipient on Ascension Day in a ceremony in the town hall. In 2008, the organizers of the Charlemagne Prize and the European Parliament jointly created the European Charlemagne Youth Prize, which recognized contributions to young people towards the process of European integration. Now, that's what I say. You gotta go backwards. I mean, people all the time are bitching and complaining about Hillary Clinton or Justin Trudeau or they're bitching about Trump or they're bitching about whoever. They're always bitching about something, but it's just noise, right? It's just reactions to something they get put in the media that particular day, and the next day there's going to be some other shit in the media. Anybody will buzz around on that. But, you know, you got to go back. I mean, this goes back to the Roman Empire again with Charlemagne. Anyways, on December 19th, 1949, Kurt Fleffer presented to the reading group Corona. I can't read most of these words because they're not my language, which he had founded. He proposes his proposals for the prize. We have the honor of proposing annual presentation of an international prize for the most valuable contribution in the services of Western European understanding and work for the community. Now, this goes back to the Sovietization. Okay? It's all about Sovietization. And in the end, you just have a great big world bureaucracy and no nation states. So you have a huge Soviet. And it's always been their plan. So refer to Charlemagne as the founder of Western culture, and assert that under his reign, the city of Action was once the spiritual and political center of the whole of what is now Western Europe. The first Charlemagne Prize was awarded to Richard von Kalergi, the founder of the Pan-European Union and founder of the Kalergi Plan. Following the presentation of the award to the Italian Prime Minister in 1952, the International Charlemagne Prize of the city of Aachen has repeatedly sent messages going far beyond Germany and promoting the unity of Europe. The award sponsors assert that the list of Charlemagne Prize winners reflects the history of the European process of unification. Has been awarded to the founding fathers of the United Europe, and a bunch of names here, and those who have embodied hope for integration, such as Edward Heath and His Majesty Juan Carlos I. The sponsors promote that the Charlemagne Prize is not only an expression of gratitude for lasting services for the unity of Europe, but also an encouragement and expression of hopes and expectations directed towards the future. The Charlemagne Prize reaches into the future, and at the same time, it embodies an obligation of the highest ethical value. It is directed at voluntary union of the European peoples without constraint, so that their newfound strength, they may defend the highest earthly goods, freedom, humanity, and peace, and safeguard the future of their children, the children's children. Okay, so we have, these names. I'm going to put this in, and I'd like you people to, this is the whole point of doing research. This is a brilliant pile of research to be had here. Because we have from the first recipient in 1950 all the way down through to 2017. Now, some of the name, a lot of these names I don't recognize. Some of them I do. In 1956, Sir Winston Churchill won the award. And 63, Edward Heath, who was the Prime Minister of Britain. And in 1969, a commission, the European Commission, won the prize. And we have, who else we got in here? Juan Carlos of Spain in 82. And the people of Luxembourg in 86. I don't know. Henry Kissinger in 87, who was a guy who said, control the food, control the people. And, you know, maybe it was his boys that came up with this new tick. Who knows? Probably came out of the Rockefeller Foundation, though. And Gro Harlem Brundtland, 94, which is 2 years after Rio. But she wrote, if she didn't wrote, she was head of the commission that came up with Our Common Future, which was a precursor to Rio in 92. And Harlem, Gro Brundtland Harlem, was vice president, I believe it was, of the Socialist International. So we know where we're going. Tony Blair got the award in 99. Bill Clinton got the award in 2000. The Euro got the prize in 2002. And Pope John Paul II, and in brackets, extraordinary prize, it says, was given the prize in, or the award in 2004. Angela Merkel, that sweetheart from Germany, won it in 2008. And Pope Francis won it in 2016. So we have names here from 1950 all the way up to 2017. And I'm going to put this in the chat because I would like you people to research some of these names. And I'm not a huge fan of Wikipedia, but it has a purpose. Just like I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but it has a purpose. And the beauty of Wikipedia is that there's so many links, right? So when you're checking out one person, there's going to be a bunch of links for other people show up. Now, you don't exactly have to take the word of Wikipedia, but you've got the names now. You can search them out any way you want. And this spider web, this Sovietization of the West has been going on a long, long time. That was the purpose of the two world wars, plain and simple. So I'm going to put this in here, and I hope that people will do some research of these names. But everything in here, okay, Bill Clinton, okay, now it was Bush who signed America onto United Nations Agenda 21 or at Rio 20 in 92. It was a Republican that signed America on. This is what makes me nuts about this right left game. Okay, they're both boots on the same body, on the same corporate body. Okay, and they're marching you somewhere you don't ever want to end up at. So the people that are out there going, well, you know, I'm a Republican. I don't give a damn. You're just as stupid as the Democrats. Just as stupid. Okay? They each got their own gameplay going on. But it's the same game. So in, you know, everybody's bitching about the left. Well, in the United States, it was the right that signed the people onto Agenda 21. And in Canada, it was a conservative, which is right, which which signed us on to Agenda 21. Then it was Bill Clinton, left, who made an executive order that it should be implemented throughout all of the bureaucracies, basically. And the same thing happened up here. So anybody that's still running around with this left-right game, you should give your head a shake, okay? It's the divide and conquer. And they've done a marvelous job with it. Because people are out in the streets throwing eggs at each other, shooting each other because you're left and I'm right, and you're right and I'm left. And that just shows how good propaganda works and the actual stupidity of the people. And you got to get over being stupid, or we ain't going to get nothing accomplished. So I'm going to put this in the chat. I'm also going to put the background of this. Oh, now my computer's hanging up again. Brilliant. If you just run to the bottom of the page that I put in here, you'll see that list of people who got the award. Two popes got the award. And we all know that Francis is a Jesuit. But it gave you a better idea why what's going on is going on. And it's not, the politicians, you know, really aren't even worth, I mean, besides they're all dirty, but, you know, there's a much bigger story behind it. And that's the story we got to get to so that put that other, the other, where did it go? Where did I get to? Yeah, this is just a history on this clown. But it is most definitely, you know, it's the Sovietization of. That's what it is. That's the way you need to understand it. And it's building of these bureaucracies. You know, they say in the government that once one government has made a board, say, or a commission, then the incoming is very difficult for them to dismantle it. And they don't. And they'll tell you, well, no, they put it in here. We can't do anything about it. So each side puts in their pieces. And the other side doesn't get rid of it. You know, take up here, our electricity system's a freaking mess now. But we went left, which was Bob Rae, NDP, which is members of the National Socialists, and he appointed his godfather, Morris Strong, to come in and redo Hydro, which was a hit. There's all kinds of documents that this was the crown jewel. This was the biggest public utility on the planet, and they wanted their hooks into it because they wanted the money. So it went from the socialists with the NDP hiring his godfather Morris Strong, who states specifically that he believes in capitalism for him and his friends and socialism for everybody else. He said that So while Maurice Strong was restructuring Ontario Hydro, the Conservatives take power. Now, did they undo what the Socialists did? Did they throw Maurice Strong out and say, get out of here, you communist pig? No. This moved to the next stage. And the Conservatives, more than anybody, implemented the takedown of Ontario Hydro. Because it was the Conservatives that were flying the energy, the Minister of Energy, down to Enron's head office in Houston to visit with Ken Lay at the same time Enron was destroying the electrical system in California. So it was the Conservatives, not the NDP socialists. They brought Strong in here. But it was the Conservatives that really bastardized Ontario Hydro and broke it up in that. So the Conservatives get booted out, then the Liberals come in. Now that they've restructured Ontario Hydro, now we got to save the planet. So now we got to shut our coal plants down, and we got to throw all this wind nonsense in here and solar panel nonsense in here. Now we shut down our coal plants and, they fed us all this nonsense. We were going to be the number one green manufacturer in the world. And, everybody's striving to be number one. It was all bull crap, of course. Most of the stuff that comes into North America is imported, including the green energy stuff. And so then... the Liberals, which is a different premier, the one that was running with Enron, was a lawyer, not a bright man by any stretch of the imagination. He had puppet written all over him, a sock puppet, that boy was. And so now he resigned, and they put in a lesbian, who is now our premier. And so they shut our coal plants down to save the planet. Now our lesbian premier has bought a coal plant in the United States somewhere, and I haven't got a chance to really look into that. But what I did see quickly is that it's supposed to be a really toxic mess down there. I think it's in California they bought it. So then the next question is, and this just proves that your state is a company. It's a corporation. They shut down the coal plants, which drives our hydro rates right through to freaking ceiling. And then the province or the premier turns around and goes and buys a coal plant in the United States. And we shut down our coal plants here because of emissions. Even though at the same time we were shutting ours down, and Maurice Strong was in China at the time, even though we were shutting ours down, all four of them, I think it was, China was building 500 coal plants without scrubbers. All about making money because they moved all our manufacturing out. And then Maurice Strong said that too. Nobody can compete with us because we've got the cheapest labor on the planet. Now what we need is cheap energy. So they forced the West to shut their coal plants down. Now coal's cheap. And the coal's being shipped to China to feed the factories that used to be here. But hey, what are we going to do about it? According to the experts, our sperm counts have dropped by over 50%. Which makes us weak. That's why you have so many men running around in dresses. We've become weak. They've made us weak. through all this stuff they've been jamming into our systems. Now, we need to get strong because we got some butt kicking to do. When they tell you that the sperm counts dropped by over 50% in the white countries, Europe, North America, Australia, but it hasn't in Africa and Asia and other places, i.e. China and Africa. China has the money. The idea is to bankrupt us so they can come in and buy up our lands for next to nothing. And then the capitalists will save money because they will bring the factories back, but they won't be manned by our people. They will be manned by the Chinamen. And they've already done it in the States. They've cut off chunks of land and made them basically manufacturing places, which are outside of our labor laws and that. So they don't have to worry about our labor laws. They put a factory up, they bring the Chinese in, then they don't have to ship the stuff back and forth because they're shipping the raw materials from here over there, manufacturing real cheap, and then shipping it back here. But that shipping has a cost involved in it, and they don't like that. They want the money. So they will bring the factories back, only you ain't going to be working in them. But, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, but I would think if you're sperm counts dropped by over 50%, your testosterone has dropped probably by the same amount. I'm thinking that. I don't know. Because most men seem awful weak of the spirit, mind, and spine that I've been running into on purpose. So it's an easy takedown. And we can't just roll over to these clowns. You know, we got to dig deep inside of us, and we got to go figure out where our forefathers' blood's floating around in us still, and we got to ignite that somehow, because we cannot continue to put up with this nonsense, or we're going down. You know, it was like Patton said. You know. The wrong side won the war. Now, love them or hate them, and it's a twisted mess to get through, but good old Adolf apparently had his head on straight, and that was to save his people or the white race. And, you know, they fill everybody full of guilt and this and that and the other thing. I mean, look at Germany. It's a complete and total disaster. The people there have been, I mean, you had a fighting machine in Germany. And whatever was left, the problem with wars, of course, is that the strongest and the bravest are usually the ones that get wiped off the map. Because those are the ones that go to war, and the others that are left behind who aren't allowed to go to the war for one reason or another, usually a mental problem or a physical problem, these are the ones who are left to breed. And then they follow that up with all of the nonsense of all the poisons that have been putting into us, and you see where we got a big problem. But it's not a problem that can't be overcome, and we will overcome it, and we will rise up, and we will put these clowns in their place, and we will get back our nations, And we will regrow our strength and drive on. I don't want to read that the white race existed up until such and such time and then mysteriously disappeared like the dinosaur. We don't want that. We ain't going to let them do it to us. Anyways, I'm going to throw this Charlemagne prize back in here. And like I said, all of the recipients of the prize, the Calgary Prize, Calergy, I think it is, prize, are listed at the bottom from 1950 up to 2016. And so I'm going to throw that in the chat for people who weren't in here before. And I'd really like you to go through them names and search this, because this goes back to 23 when they were doing the start of the Pan-American, Pan-European thing, which coincides really with that book, The New Despotism, which was written in 29. You know, none of this stuff was ever taught to me in school. I know that for a fact. Maybe it was taught to you, but I highly doubt it. You know, and that should make us really angry. You know, very, very angry. You know, the fact that the lawyers run it, because the lawyers are the ones that write all the legalese into everything. Oh, so politicians make the legislation. No, they come up with an idea, but it's come up from the corporate side. But the actual legalities of it is all written by lawyers. And most of the top people in governments are lawyers. Then we got to do something about that. ASAP. And I'm going to leave on this note. I think I'm going to court tomorrow. And we were there July the 3rd. And I got my shoulder ratched pretty freaking bad. I was viciously attacked from behind. I never even seen that sucker coming. So tomorrow I'm going to make myself up a suit tonight or tomorrow morning, out of bubble wrap and, for protection, you know, and, we're going to wear signs and that into the court, and we'll bring other signs for other people in the courts. And I think my buddy that's going to go with me, I couldn't find any hockey gear, but he thinks he can find some hockey gear. So I'm going to be in bubble wrap. He's going to be in hockey gear, I guess. And we're going to head into the courthouse tomorrow and see if we can't make a general mockery of the place. Because legal, of course, if you listen to this show, you understand by now that legal is not law. Okay, it's similar to like, but not law. Okay, and so we got to get back to law, and we're going to go get our countries back, and... if we're going to raise that sperm count up so it's the highest sperm count on the freaking planet. You know, we're going to repopulate ourselves, and we're going to round up these evil sons of bitches and probably either put them in the gallows or burn them at the stake. Because we need a cleansing here, because the world is a mess. And we've allowed these deceivers and these evil people to deceive us and take advantage of us for centuries. And now that we know, we can't not know, therefore we can't be deceived, so we will. Anyways, everybody have a great night. Saturday night, I forgot to say that, Saturday night we're going to have fun.
Selling lies and buying time, wow. Killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass, don't come rain, they burn.